Many families have felt the impact of our Families Helping Families program.
Without the Families Helping Families program, my children wouldn't have had a Christmas. We're very poor and I'm struggling just to pay bills. Through this program, I was connected to a local church that came beside my family. I felt God's love through the giving of others, and my children were able to have a great Christmas celebration. Thank you.
If you'd like to help someone in need this Christmas season, visit drjamesdobson.org and click on Families Helping Families. Together, we can make a difference in the lives of others.
Hello, this is Mike Segovia, broadcast director here at Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and I'm sitting here with Mark Weber, or Weebs as he's known to me, engineer extraordinaire. Mark, we got some special greetings for our faithful listeners.
Yes, we do. It's Christmas time, and we're excited for the time of year we can celebrate the birth of Christ and go sledding and watch the snow come down while we drink hot chocolate. It's a very exciting time of year.
And feast on turkey and watch football. So we wish you a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Thank you for your faithful listening to us.
Today on Family Talk.
You need to do your fighting in prayer. And you need to kick the real enemy out of your home with the Word of God. It's time for you to fight, Elizabeth. It's time for you to fight for your marriage. It's time for you to fight the real enemy. It's time for you to take off the gloves and do it.
Welcome to today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're continuing our Best of the Best broadcast series. The clip you just heard was from the blockbuster movie War Room, and the voice you just heard was Miss Clara, the unsung hero of the latest Kendrick Brothers film. As many of you know, Miss Clara teaches a young wife to pray for her crumbling marriage and family. Because of the advice Miss Clara offers, the family is restored and lives are changed. It's a moving story about the power of prayer, and it really resonated with audiences all over America. So did our interview with the Kendrick Brothers. Many of you wrote or called or posted to our Facebook page to talk about their interview with Dr. Meg Meeker at the International Christian Retail Show in Orlando, Florida. Alex and Stephen Kendrick are responsible for the movies Courageous, Fireproof, Facing the Giants, and Flywheel, but War Room surpassed them all, earning $4 million on just the opening day alone. Clearly, there's a hunger in our culture for great stories that honor God, and the Kendrick Brothers are committed to bringing them to you. Listen now as they talk about their passion and their vision for storytelling in the first part of their interview with Dr. Meg Meeker on today's Best of the Best edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Meg Meeker coming to you from the International Christian Retail Show in Orlando, Florida. Today, I'm joined by two extraordinary men who will be very familiar to our audience. Alex and Stephen Kendrick are the writers and directors of some very successful movies, including Facing the Giants, Fireproof, Courageous, and an extraordinarily wonderful new film called War Room. Alex and Stephen, thank you so much for coming here and letting me interview you. This is just so cool. Can you just give us a little background? Your brothers.
I've known Alex all my life.
All your life. So you know he's a good guy to work with.
Right, that's right.
So I won't ask you if you argue on the set or anything. How did the two of you get involved in making movies?
Well, we grew up with a slant toward telling stories. It's interesting, even in our childhood, for most of our childhood, we did not have a television in our home. So we were forced to be creative. And it's interesting, if you remove video games and movies and television from a child's life, he will end up being more creative.
Parents, right? Are you listening?
Yeah, and so we grew up making our own little skits and shows. By the time we did get a television, it was about the time that home video cameras became commonplace, and we begged our parents to get us a home video camera. And when they did, we made our own version of movies instead of Indiana Jones.
With a video cassettes.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
TV.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
VCR.
Yeah,
yeah. You had to hang the suitcase of the VCR camera
that's
over
right.
your shoulder.
So we did, instead of Indiana Jones, we did Alabama Jones. Instead of James Bond, we did Savings Bond. That was our secret agent. And we had the best time in our neighborhoods learning how to edit between our VCR and the camera. Mm. And so we would do very rough edits of our films. And so we did school projects on video, church projects on video, and just really loved it, and that desire to tell stories never left us.
Wow. You have a big family. How many siblings do you have?
There's three of us, Shannon, our oldest brother, is a behind-the-scenes kind of guy.
So he's involved in the production and the movie as well.
He just joined us at Kendrick Brothers for this latest film, War Room.
Yeah.
Has a deep love for the Lord and is excited about now helping us to make Christian films.
Well, I love the fact as a pediatrician, and I'm talking to parents all the time about things that they can do to encourage their kids and develop, bring out creativity. So it's really fair to say that the success of your careers is in large part due to the fact that your parents said no TV.
We went, I want to say, 8 or 9 years without a television. And then even when we did get a television, it was carefully monitored. Mm-hmm. They did not want us coming home from school and spending the rest of our days just sitting in front of the television. Mm-hmm. Because every show has a worldview. And like it or not, as entertaining as some programs may be, you're being indoctrinated with somebody's worldview.
Yep.
And so our parents, our father who was a minister, mom was a school teacher, they wanted to make sure that what we were feeding our minds was more healthy than just entertaining. And so we grew up wanting to be creative, and our parents made sure we were prayed over and raised by God's word. And so by the time we were teenagers, we surrendered our hearts and lives to the Lord and said, God, what do you want us to do? And after getting involved in ministry, in youth ministry, both of us were ordained in a ministry after our communication degrees. And we started making videos and using our students to help us make those. And that was the forerunner to the features that we ended up making.
So you went to seminary,
yes.
Correct? And you used seminary students to help you make the movies, and they were in the movies.
Yeah, both seminary students, because we did seminary projects on video, as well as the high school students when we were high school ministers.
Mm-hmm.
And so middle school and college ministers,
that's
actually,
right.
I should be more specific. But those years were great formative years in learning how to think from a ministerial mindset, applying biblical truth to our stories, and then incorporating them into the features.
And let me just pause for just a second and say how grateful we are for Dr. Dobson, because our dad grew up in a home where his father was an alcoholic for many years, and our father was trying to learn how to be a godly husband and a godly father, and he ended up going on staff at a church, and he would show that original video series at our church, and he would read all the books as soon as Hide and Seek comes out, or Strong Willed Child, or
Living on the Edge.
Dare to Discipline was applied to our constitutions.
Yeah.
And so we are very grateful to the Lord for that, because he ended up becoming a headmaster at a Christian school and would pass on a lot of those same truths to those parents that
wow.
he was working with.
So. Wow. We all owe him a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an extraordinary man of God, and God has used and continues to use him mightily. There's a big leap between making movies with your seminary students and then having national or international films. How did that happen?
Well, in 2002, Stephen and I were both on staff at Sherwood Church in Albany, Georgia. And we asked our pastor if he would allow us to make a low-budget feature film for the community. We began seeing how many people would go on weekends to see a feature film instead of going to church. And
right.
that became the churches for many people in our culture.
Yes.
And so what we asked our pastor was, can we make a low-budget feature film? And we made a little movie called Flywheel for $20,000 of just gift money. It didn't even come out of the church budget. And that movie started off in one theater, ended up branching to a few more, and then selling over 1 million DVDs. And so
so God.
Yeah, we prayed our way through it.
It is totally the Lord.
Yeah.
And so that led to our second movie, Facing the Giants, which Sony picked up and put in over 400 theaters nationally, which led to Fireproof, about marriage
yes.
and unconditional love and the dangers of pornography, which led to Courageous on fatherhood
yes.
that came out a few years ago, and now War Room, which is on the power of prayer as a weapon. We are afforded the truth of God's word and prayer as a weapon that we so rarely use, and we need to use it more. So War Room, our current movie, is on the power of prayer, and prayer as a weapon, and we're excited for people to see it and think it will really inspire them.
Your story is really a story of faith and discipline, and you are evidence of prayer, your parents' prayers that went into
yes.
that. We go back, and so a lot of the young people out there who are in high school or college thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do? Your story is testimony to just being faithful to God's word and being faithful to God. Let's jump into War Room. War Room is extraordinary. At a time in U.S. history when Christians feel really bullied They won't say it, but we do. We feel hamstrung. We feel silenced. We feel sometimes that those of us who are Christians talking to our adult children coming home from college say, we have to watch our language. We have to watch what we say because we're going to be labeled as extremist, judgmental, narrow-minded, too conservative, yada, yada, yada. We are branded. At a time in history when this is happening to Christians, you guys completely crashed through that and said, we are going to make an extraordinarily bold Christian movie, no holds barred. Why did you decide to do it now?
The Lord is the short answer to that. You know, Alex and I fear the Lord. And when you have a fear of the Lord, the fear of man begins to fade into the background. And so we know that we will stand before God one day and give an account for how we live our lives, and we want to be found faithful to that. But we've seen how powerful prayer can be. We grew up in a praying home. Our mom and dad dedicated us to God from the very beginning. We saw amazing answers to prayer in their lives growing up. And the Apostle Paul says, I want your faith to be not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And a lot of times parents talk their kids into believing things, and later on college professors talk them out of it.
That's the norm now.
That's right.
It's terrifying for Christian parents. And as a parent who sent four kids to college, even Christian colleges, these kids come back and, wow, you know what, Mom? It's the war is in the family now. The war is not the family and the culture or Christians. Like the war is at the center of the home. So go ahead. So
moms and dads need to have lives that are demonstrations of the power of God. And if they're not walking with Jesus, if they're just taking their kids to church and thinking that church is going to do all the discipleship, and they're not walking with the Lord, their kids are growing up seeing the most influential people in their lives, their mom and dad, not trusting God, not walking in the Lord. And so, as Paul said, I want your faith to be in the power of God, and I want my life to be a demonstration of the power of God. We grew up in a home where we saw incredible demonstrations of the power of God in our parents' lives because they would pray for something and God would answer. They'd pray for specific amounts of money and God would send it to the penny exactly when they needed it.
I was going to say, can you elaborate on that if you don't mind us sort of getting a little personal here?
Sure.
Can you tell us what you've seen as adults or children in your own lives?
Absolutely. We were taught to pray first. You know, the Lord says in Jeremiah 29:13, if you seek me, you'll find me, if you seek me with all your heart. So our parents taught us, do not seek the Lord with a lukewarm heart or with sin in your heart, because what you're doing is precluding God from doing anything in your life. God hates lukewarmness. And by our lukewarm lives, we're saying with hypocrisy, our God is not worth our whole heart. So as we learn to pray, we learn to see incredible answers to prayer. My father, who was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 1984, initially it threw him into depression. Anybody that gets a debilitating disease right now like that, it's going to be depressing. And so he got to the point where he said, Lord, either take me home or use me in a powerful way. The Lord allowed him to start a Christian school, which mentored and trained hundreds and hundreds of students over the last 25 years. And so we watched this happen with him in a wheelchair starting a school that ended up influencing thousands of families and children.
Can I ask about how old you were? Were you young kids?
It was in 1984. Yeah, I was 18 years old when he started.
Very impressionable age.
Yeah, and so I'm watching him fight and struggle and pray through this, and God answered prayers. And the Lord did not make it easy. He did bless it, but he did not make it easy. And by the way, our God is an incredible storyteller, and what does every story include? It includes some stretching, some hardship, and some drama, because without those things, it is not a good story.
Right.
Even though you follow the story of Jesus Christ, incredible suffering and drama, but with an ultimate, incredible ending, right, of resurrection and salvation. And that's true for
through
us.
The pain.
That's true for us. So all the stories we write, we intentionally write in struggle and hardship, because it makes the story worth listening to. Because at the end, when you have your redemptive aspects of that story, it's more powerful because of the hardship. Now, right now in our culture, our church is going through that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to be more and more persecuted. That persecution is going to begin to purify the church, because we have to decide, is our God worth wholeheartedly living for and fighting for, or is he not? Mm-hmm. And this persecution has begun to separate those that are serious about their faith and those that will be washed away to please men by our politically correct culture. But anyway, I digress.
Going I love back, it. Good.
So our parents demonstrated to us the power of prayer through struggle. We saw him with this Christian school. And so growing up, it was believable to think if our father can be called of God to start a Christian school when there's no way that could happen. And
no
yet
money,
it does happen.
In a wheelchair.
That's right, in a wheelchair. Well, we can do feature films.
We saw him launch this school on faith without the resources that they had, without the locations, without the books, you know, without the money. And we saw God provide all those things.
Yep.
And then so when we went into making a movie ministry, we're like, we've seen this happen before. So without Hollywood training, without ever having been on a Hollywood set, never been to film school, we moved forward by faith. And we saw the Lord lay tracks in front of a moving train.
Yep.
And every one of the five movies, you could sit there next to us in the movie and we could say, that scene's an answer to prayer, and that person's an answer to prayer, and that location's an answer to prayer, and that prop is an answer to prayer.
I mean, just think about this. There are thousands of movies that are desperately trying to get distribution. So how in the world can two brothers in South Georgia with no film degree or prior experience make feature films that Sony runs to and says, we want to distribute that nationwide with the Christian message, and then end up putting it on DVD in 76 countries? That is only the Lord.
Only the Lord.
And so we had the faith to believe that God could do that. God is still in the business of resurrecting dead things and doing miracles when we thought there's no possible way. So when it comes to raising our children, we serve a mighty God who is deserving of our whole heart and our life. When we do feature films, we serve a God that is a better director than Steven Spielberg and a better producer than Jerry Bruckheimer.
Exactly.
And he is the greatest storyteller ever. So we've learned there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea. God, what are your ideas? Inspire us with them. We'll seek you. We pray until he tells us what to do. We apply biblical truth to these films. We want them to be entertaining. We want them to be relatable and powerful. So by the end of these films, people leave the theater thinking, I've got to draw closer to God. I've got to spend more time in prayer. I've got to apply biblical truths to my life. And they learn that through an entertaining film.
You said there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea.
Right.
And I think, you know, our listeners might think, okay, well, tell me how to discern the difference. Have you ever had a time where you really thought God had you on a track and thought, this is a movie we need to make, and he pulled the plug?
Yes.
Yeah.
We didn't get very far down the road. But Alex and I, have a lot of movie ideas that we want to make into films.
I bet you do.
And so, but what we'll do is we're working on ideas, but we'll lay it before the Lord. And basically, so far with each film, God's vetoed our idea and brought in something out from left field. Alex can tell you about Flywheel, making a movie about a used car salesman. That was not his desire.
No.
With Facing the Giants about football. You know, we tend to come up with these action, chase him down, beat him up, explosion, end times kind of ideas.
You guys.
You know, stuff guys want to see. That's right. Yeah. Stuff guys want to see. And the Lord ends up turning our hearts toward a theme or a message, you know, about unconditional love and marriage in the case of Fireproof, or fathers being the spiritual leaders of their home and taking the reins with their hands and saying, I will be serious about loving God and loving my children and being that leader for my home. And that was courageous. And when the Lord does that, we follow him, and it ends up accomplishing and doing more than we ever asked or imagined.
He always has bigger, better, and
yes.
more pure. And I think one of the things I love about your films, Fireproof and Courageous, there's a purity and a clarity and a fire to them.
Yeah.
And that you walk out knowing that you know that you know. You have a decision to make.
That's right.
You're either going to go this way or they're going to go that way, and there's no middle ground. And I can imagine that that decision is going to be even more clear and more fiery with War Room, because to me, this seems like this is your most passionate film yet.
It is. And you know, there's a scene that illustrates exactly what you're saying. There's an elderly lady, a prayer warrior. Her name is Miss Clara. So she is mentoring this young wife. In the course of a conversation early in the film, she asks the young wife, tell me about your prayer life. Is it hot? Is it cold? And young wife says, oh, I don't know. I guess I'm in the middle. I mean, I should pray more, but I pray some. It's kind of just lukewarm. She's bringing her a cup of coffee as she's saying this. And the elderly woman sabotages her cup of coffee with lukewarm coffee. Right? So she sets the coffee down as they're continuing their conversation. When the young wife takes a sip, she says, I'm sorry, Miss Clara, do you like your coffee room temperature? And the elderly woman says, no, baby, mine's hot. And so she illustrates this, and then she says to the young wife, Elizabeth, you know, it's interesting. People drink their coffee hot or cold. You know, there's chilled coffee now, right? Nobody drinks it lukewarm, not even the Lord. And she goes, the last place and the only place you cannot be with your walk with God is lukewarm. And that's where America is.
Right now.
Right smack dab in the middle. We're scared of offending man more so than we're scared of offending a holy God. And we must choose who we're going to honor, man or God.
Sin has been so normalized,
yes,
the lines are blurred.
That's
there
right.
is no sin.
That's right.
And this is something that we've seen. I'm a bit older than you, but we've seen in our generation. We were young kids. We knew what was right and what was wrong, whether you had Christian parents or whether you didn't. You know, my dad, I knew what my dad expected of me in high school. That was it. And I was scared of my dad in a healthy way, in a good way. But there was no question about what I believed was right and what I believed was wrong. And that's what I love about your movies. Miss Claire is my new hero.
Oh.
Can you just give us, without giving the movie away, an overview of the movie? The movie is about a couple, Tony and Elizabeth. Take it from there.
Yep. War Room follows the analogy, starting with the beginning of the movie, of a military war room. A military war room is where the leaders will meet. They look at maps and grids and information of what the enemy is doing and where they're located. They then come up with a battle strategy, call in the resources, and disseminate that plan to the leaders and troops in the field, then to engage the enemy.
Very pragmatic.
That's right. And in spiritual terms, we too often are guilty of charging into our battles, cultural, personal, relational, whatever it is, with our own logic, and we get in over our head. We start getting shot at and losing our own personal battles, if you will. Then we run to God and saying, God, where are you? What are you doing? Wrong. What we must first do is go to our war room or our prayer closet, if you will, and pray to the Lord first and then engage the enemy. And the Lord, through biblical principles and His Word, is the weapons that we use to face our enemy. And we have a very real enemy. And so we are encouraging people in this movie, spend time with the Lord. The prayers of a righteous man accomplish much, I should say, or women. The prayers of a righteous man or woman accomplishes much. He says, seek me and you'll find me if you seek me with all your heart, which means you cannot be lukewarm. Mm-hmm. And so when we do that first and pray scripture over ourselves, our children, our spouses, our homes, our nation, then God begins to move. We cannot seek God with a lukewarm heart, with lukewarm motives, as a by the way, God, we just need you to step in here. No, the Lord says, because I'm God, I'm worthy of your total focus of the being the first priority in your life. So the movie follows a family who are figuring this out. The husband and wife are struggling. They're fighting. They live in a well-to-do neighborhood.
Are they Christians at the beginning of the movie?
They would say they are, mm-hmm, and they attend church, but their hearts are not in it. And when things go south, they, like many people, they blame God. I don't understand what God's doing. They blame each other and they fight. And what our real enemy does is he gets the husband and wife to look at each other as an enemy. Mm-hmm. Well, your spouse is not your enemy. They need prayer and they need help, but they are not your enemy.
Parents.
That's correct.
That's right.
And the children are collateral damage, right? So he's finding his identity in his job, mm-hmm, over his role as husband or father. And then the wife is bitter and frustrated. So she's trying to fix her husband by nagging him. And we all know how well that works. And so this elderly prayer warrior comes in and says, you are not fighting the right way. And she says, oh, if there's anything we do well, it's fight. And she goes, no, you don't know how to fight. You're fighting the wrong enemy with the wrong weapons. So she goes, if you'll give me 1 hour a week, I will teach you how to fight.
How does she meet Miss Clara?
Well, the young wife is a real estate agent. And the elderly prayer warrior needs someone to sell her home. She's downsizing to live with her children in her elderly age. And so when this young wife comes to sell her home, she begins realizing, the elderly woman, that this young wife has trouble in her marriage and starts taking the opportunity to get to know her and befriend her and then begins mentoring her. And so there's a strong message of mentoring in this movie as well. So you follow Miss Clara, this elderly prayer warrior, teaching this young wife how to fight using the right weapons. And she says, I want to show you my favorite place in this house. So she walks upstairs and shows her this closet, and it's an empty closet with a chair, a Bible, and all these scriptures pasted all over the walls. And the young wife is perplexed by this. She says, what is this? And the elderly woman says, this is my war room. And she says, what do you mean war room? And she starts talking about how I spend time every day praying over my children and my pastor and my nation. And the young wife says, I don't have that much time to pray every day. And she goes, but you obviously have time to fight with your husband. And so
pray, not fight.
That's right. And so as she walks her through this strategy, the wife is the hero in this movie, but the husband steps up by the end. The wife intercedes for her daughter and her husband and begins fighting the right way, trying to love her husband in spite of the fact he doesn't deserve it, loves her husband and fights for his heart, interceding with the Lord. And we see God begin to do things that only God can do.
We need to stop. This is a great place to stop because I hope everybody is just sort of, you know, it's a cliffhanger. It's an extraordinary movie. You have taught us so much. We have so much more to talk about. And I would love if you could just stay and we could do this again. Would that be okay, Alex and Stephen? I'd love it.
We've been enjoying the first part of Dr. Meg Meeker's interview with Alex and Stephen Kendrick here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. This interview is one of our most popular broadcasts of 2015, as the Kendrick brothers shared how the power of prayer has shaped their lives and how it can do the same for any believer. It's also the heart of the movie War Room, so I urge you to get a copy when it comes out on DVD on December 22nd. Share it with believers and non-believers alike and see what God can do in their lives. Visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, for a link to pre-order the movie or to find out more about the Kendrick brothers. And don't forget to tune in for tomorrow's broadcast to hear the conclusion of this inspiring interview. This is Ryan Dobson saying Merry Christmas, God bless, and thanks for listening today. We'll see you again next time for another Best of the Best broadcast edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.